are out of workbooks, and so if you don't have one, then again, buddy up with someone who has one and share together. And if you'd like to have a copy of this, let know, we'll try to get that to you. We're on page 20 of this particular workbook. It's lesson 8. This quarter has been about being strong in the Lord. Not to doubt in my mind that every child of God desires to be strong in the Lord and not to be weak. And so we've got to put the time into it. We've got to put the effort in. I want to ask you a question at the beginning of this study. Have you ever began to study the Bible and then approach it from a particular method or a way that you hadn't used before? And maybe someone was teaching you and taught you about how to approach a study of the Bible, how to study the Word of God. And you had the thought, I wish I would have done this early on. I wish I would have known about how to do this when I first obeyed the gospel of Christ. Have you ever thought that? I have. I've listened to people teach the Bible and perhaps say, here's some things that have helped me along the way, and I think, I wish I would have known that at the beginning. I wish I would have done this particular study soon after obeying the gospel of Christ. Well, we ought not feel bad about that, but we ought to recognize that that's part of growing. We're not going to know everything up front. We're not going to come up out of the watery grave of baptism and know everything about the Bible. In fact, we're going to go to our grave and depart this earthly pilgrimage not knowing everything about the Bible. If we knew everything, there'd be no room for growth. And the Bible tells us to grow. Right? Can you think of a passage where He commands us to grow?
Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. 2 Peter 3:18. That's not an option. And the reality is that you can't do my growing for me. And I can't grow for you. Right? And I'm not going to grow at the speed necessarily that you're going to grow at. And you may not grow at the speed that me or someone else may grow. But we are each responsible for that. So I think it's been a good study so far. A good quarter as we think about being strong in the Lord. This lesson has a peculiar title. It certainly caught my attention. Developmental disorders. You think, what in the world are you going to study about in an adult class about developmental disorders? Well, spiritually speaking, we can hinder our growth in the Lord. And that's several of the points that are made in this lesson. If there's a child that is not growing as they should, they're not picking up weight, and they're not meeting those developmental milestones. Right? We take our kids to these well checks, right, along the way to see how they're doing it. Remember the health department, there's a program called First Steps, and they may send out various sheets that say, at this point in time, your child needs to be doing X, Y, and Z. And if our child is not doing that, what do we do?
Seek advice or help to correct the problem.
Yeah, we're worried about that, right? My child is not crawling. He's not rolling over. He's not grasping hold of something, trying to pull himself up. He's not trying to ooh and ah, trying to put words together. He said, what's going on? Not picking up weight. The medical field calls it failure to thrive. And I've seen kids failure to thrive. Parents did not take care of them. And as a result of that, they have no thriving desire. And they just lag behind. And that's sad. Well, in our spiritual journey, we've got to put time and effort, be attentive to the things that would help us to grow. If not, we're not going to be strong in the Lord. And you want to be strong, right? I do too. Well, this first point is God's family. God has a family, as the Bible says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Who is our Father? Remember what the Lord said, call no man Father on earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. And so God is His Father. That's family terminology. He's our Father, and we are His children. Right? And in our relationship one to another, what are we? Brethren. We looked at that last week. Some of those one another passages in the Bible. According to John 3, 1 through 7, Galatians 3, 26 through 28, how does one get into the family of God? Yeah. Well, again, we're going to talk some about that in the sermon, Lord willing, this morning. We're baptized into Christ. Children of God by faith, where at?
In Christ.
Under the Old Testament dispensation, under the law of Moses, how was one a Jew? I said, well, there was proselytes. Yeah, there was. There were strangers that could come. Typically speaking, physically born, they were born that way. They had no control over that. Right? We can't pick our parents. But we have control over being in the family of God. We've got to make that choice that He's going to be our Father and we're going to obey Him. If we've never been baptized, then we're not children of God by faith because we're not in Christ. And He would sum up that chapter by saying that we are heirs even of the promise that was made to Abraham. To be a child of God is to be, what you put in that blank?
Heir.
Yeah. What does it mean to be an heir? How can we be an heir of God?
Be his offspring. Be an offspring of God.
That's
an heir.
Okay. To be his child, to be in his family. What does it mean to be an heir in this physical life?
In line to receive.
Okay. And when do we receive those things? Okay. Well, that's right, but I can't help but to ask this. God is not going to die, so how are we an heir of God? He says we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Yeah, it's through our obedience and in line to receive those things that God has promised. And there's a lot of things God's promised. Eternal life, eternal salvation. Salvation from sin, past sins now. Romans chapter 5 talks about that, chapter 3. And so don't miss that point. So we're in God's family. Now not everyone is in God's family. Sometimes the Bible talks about being sons of God, but it's not talking about a spiritual relationship necessarily. Man was created in what? In God's image. The Bible talks about numerous times about Christ being the Son of Man, the Son of God. But in order to be a child of God, again, it's through our obedience to the Father's will. Number two, the Father expects His children to grow and develop, as we've already talked about. 2 Peter 3:18 that you've already mentioned, that we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 13 says what? Things naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God sees our progress. God sees our strengths. He sees our weaknesses. He sees what we do. We can't hide it from God. So we've got to be attentive to those things. I like this saying in here, that 7 days without the Word makes one weak. Right? That's good. Number three, routine evaluations are needed. I've got to spend time evaluating my strengths and weaknesses. What I've succeeded in, what I've failed in. Each one of us has to do that. To notice where I can improve and where I'm strong at. Right? So that I know where to give some attention. I know where to give some time. What command did Paul give to the Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5? What you put in that blank? Examine
yourselves and test yourselves.
Examine others. Anybody put others in it? Yourself, right? You know better. You got it right. Examine yourself. How often?
Daily,
right? See, a lot of times we may get off on the wrong tangent, begin to examine everyone but self. And that won't work if we're going to be strong in the Lord. But we've got to examine ourselves to see if we are in a faith.
The faith.
I'm working on a sermon. The difference between A and the, or the. There's a big difference. I don't want to be a member of a faith. I want to be a member of the faith. Right? The Bible has a lot to say about that. When is a good time for self evaluation from 1 Corinthians 11:28. What'd you put there?
So, in the context of the Lord's Supper.
Okay. So that's context of it? Someone read that verse for us. Go ahead, Mark.
Paul talked also about he considered the churches and prayed for them daily. So daily we need to take inventory.
So he says, examine ourselves. But in the context of that, he's talking about the Lord's Supper, and obviously we partake of the Lord's Supper weekly, but does it just stop on the first day of the week to evaluate? But daily, right? How are we doing on self-evaluation? Do we take the time to do that? How many of us evaluate our time? How many's busy? Probably every hand would go up. We're all busy, right? We busy ourselves doing numerous things, but maybe at the end of a year or midway through the year, we're almost halfway through this year, be a good time to evaluate the use of our time. Where'd this year go? What have I spent it doing? That's one of the reasons I like to use a planner. You probably use one too, maybe in your job or just in your daily life. And have those things out. This is what I spent time doing. Maybe I shouldn't spend so much time doing this and more time over here. But we've got to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, because we want to go to heaven when life is over. Associated features number four of a developmental disorder. We're talking spiritually now. What would cause us to lag behind spiritually and not grow as we should in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior? Number one may be because we have a deficit in knowledge. In the Old Testament, God, through the prophet's penman, in Hosea chapter 4 and then verse 6, said, "My people are destroyed." Why? Lack of knowledge. Anyone have a lack of knowledge? We evaluate ourselves and understand that I need to grow perhaps in these areas. But the point is that they didn't know and had not been applying what they should have been doing and knowing. And sometimes they knew it, they had heard it, but they turned from it. They rebelled against it. Over and over that happened. I think about the period of the judges, right? They knew the law, they should have been obeying it, but a failure to do that led to what? God would give them over to the hands of their enemies. They were oppressed for a number of years, and then they would cry out. God would raise them up a deliverer called the judge, and who would deliver them from the oppression of their enemies. But we've got to know the Word of God. A lot of people, they think that this book is beyond our comprehension. Are you persuaded of that? That we cannot know what this book says? Now, obviously we can know it. He gave the command to know it. John 8:24 made the statement we can know. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The context sets out that he's talking about being free from sin. If you continue reading after that, we can know the truth. Ephesians 5 and then verse 17. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding." Notice what he said in Ephesians chapter 3. We made reference to this a number of times, but I want you to pay attention to what he says as we think about knowing the Word of God. In Ephesians 3 verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known." He's going to talk about being made known, knowledge, and to know. "Known unto me the mysteries," as I wrote afore in a few words, "whereby when you read, you may understand." And so if I don't understand, the problem or the fault is not with God, it's with me. Right? I put that for, and that doesn't mean that everything in the Bible is easily understood, but it's knowable. We can know it. Okay. Search the Scriptures, right? What did he say about searching the Scriptures? That's right. That's right. They ought to have known. Yeah, if they just given the time and the attention to that. But knowledge. knowledge must be, according to Colossians 1:10, which put in that blank. Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 10. That you might walk worth. Go ahead.
Increased.
Yeah. Must be increased. Not just that I've heard the gospel initially and then I believed, I repented of my sins, I confessed my faith in Christ, I've been baptized, and that's it. Game over. Right? Doesn't work that way, does it? The knowledge has to be increased.
Just the beginning.
That's right. Just the beginning. Born into as a babe. Right? And we've got to grow. Maybe I have a developmental disorder because of my inability to teach. Every single one of us, and I think we miss this boat by and large, every single one of us has the responsibility to equip ourselves with the ability to teach. You agree with that? Yes, we understand that there's proper places and roles for both men and women and so forth. But each one of us as a child in God's family has a responsibility to teach what we know, what we've obeyed, and what we do, according to the Scriptures, to someone else. Maybe we have a developmental disability in our spiritual walk with the Lord because we have not given attention to do that. You cannot help but to think about what the Hebrew writer penned in Hebrews chapter 4 to those that also should have been, or chapter 5 rather, should have been able to do that very thing. Someone read for us Hebrews 5 and in verse 12.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food.
When for the time you ought to be teacher, you should have been equipped, able to teach others. Does God expect us to grow enough to teach others? And then, how are we doing in carrying that out? You know, I might be able to set upstairs, use myself for an example, I might set upstairs and just all day, every day, read and pour through what the Scriptures would say. What if read books that are written about whatever the case may be. But what am I doing with that? Am I being selfish and not willing to impart that to someone else? Yeah, I know it. Maybe I might say, yeah, I know what the Bible teaches about that topic. But as God's people, we have a duty. We're duty bound to teach that to others. And here's some references for that that's in your book, Matthew 28. We call it the Great Commission, right? He commissioned the apostles to go forth and do what? Teach, baptize, and teach. Teach them, baptize them, and continue to teach them. Right? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2, what does he say? The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. How are we doing on that? Are we committing those things that we have learned from the Scriptures to men who are faithful and able to discharge that and teach others? What about someone read verse 24 for us? 2 Timothy 2:24.
The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition. God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth.
What does it mean to be apt to teach?
Able
to teach, right? Able, equipped, and able to do that. Is that limited to just elders, by the way? He just said a servant of the Lord. Are you a servant of the Lord? Yes, Paul's writing to Timothy about doing the work of an evangelist, but he's talking about being a servant of the Lord. It requires milk and not meat. Maybe I'm an individual just not grown. I have developmental disorder because I've stayed on milk. I want to ask you a question. You don't answer out loud. I just want to ask the question for you to think about. We talk about milk and meat. What determines what milk is and what meat is? Do you ever think about that? A Hebrew writer talks about that. But just think about that. What does my diet consist of? 2 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Well, this is our sustenance, right? This is our nourishment. But how can I go on to meatier matters? By the way, what is easy for you to understand may not be easy for me to understand. I've been asked before by individuals, how do you balance your preaching? Right? Well, if you preach the Bible, it has a pretty good way of balancing itself if we'll just preach the Word. Lessons need to be to where the most new Christian to the oldest can understand it. If I get on the pulpit and I preach something, by the way, that you can't understand, I've wasted your time and my time too. Right? The simplicity of the gospel needs to be heralded. It requires milk to grow or nourishment again. I fed you with milk and not with meat. 1 Corinthians 3:2. As you answer that question, why did he say that he did that? Why did he feed them with milk and not with meat? Not able to bear it, he says. Right? Again, we've got to evaluate ourselves, but listen, we can't stay on first principle topics forever. We've got to leave those things. Don't mean they're not important. We've got to go on to maturity, to perfection, to growth in Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Of this next thought, in reprimanding the Hebrews for their developmental delay, the apostle mentioned that they had need of milk and not of strong meat. Your diet tells your age. It's a good thought. Our diet tells our age spiritually. Maybe we have a developmental disorder in our spiritual growth because we're given to envy and strife. We've recently talked about that. We won't spend much time on that. But envy and strife were evidence that the Corinthians, had some growing up to do. Remember that? He reprimanded them about that. Talked about division. He talked about them being carnal in 1 Corinthians chapters 1, 3, and 5. What were they doing? Did you have a chance to look at that? Why he pointed that out to them? Yeah. Well, that's right. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? I think sometimes we just, for lack of a better phrase, we don't or won't man up. We won't grow up, right? When the Bible in the New Testament says, quit you like men, what's he talking about? Grow up. That's what he's saying. Act like men. Don't wear our feelings on our sleeves and get offended and hurt and upset at the drop of a diamond. You know, someone hurt my feelings, I'm not going back. Be stronger. Be bigger than that. It's not always about someone else. Sometimes I need to look within. Maybe it's about me. I need to evaluate my service to God and not let others stand in the way of that.
None of these problems that creep in, I was surprised, I guess because I'm a little naive, I guess, in some senses, but when I got in years ago into the federal system, I was surprised that the same problems that are in the world are in the federal prison system. The same things that we fight out here, they fight inside the prisons. They get it in. The church is the same way. The same problems that are in the world is going to try its best to get into the church. And they come in this way through these divisions and these quans of the same problems that the world fights.
Good point. Good point. And to be vigilant, right? And be aware of that. I'll give you a quick example of that. I had been in the church long, not too long after I'd obeyed the gospel, and I had led a public prayer during one of the services, and one of the older men, when he got up, he just said, "Was anyone able to hear him?" And of course, I didn't say anything, and he said, "When you lead a prayer, you need to speak up so that others can hear." Well, that just offended me, and I got up and I left. So immature about that. And got home, my grandmother said, "You did exactly what the devil wanted you to do." And that was a good lesson for me. He didn't, of course, probably didn't mean anything by that, but other than to speak when you lead a prayer, speak up that others might hear. Right? But I was so immature as a Christian that I was wearing my heart and feelings on my sleeve that I took it perhaps the wrong way and responded in a wrong way. Well, you learn from that. You grow and to grow in the things that we ought to grow. Maybe we have a deficit or a developmental disorder because we're not involved in the work. Remember that hymn, "To the Work, to the Work, to the Work." I want to be a worker for the Lord. How dare I say I want to be a worker for the Lord and then I won't get up to lift a finger to do anything. Now, I'll use myself personally. You know, we can sing a lie. You agree with that? We can sing a lie. And so we need to think about those things. I've got a responsibility to be a worker in the Lord's family. To be a soldier of the cross, right? Begin with me all the way around the room. We're not exempt from that, right? And there's plenty of work to be done. I guarantee you there's plenty of work for the youngest to the oldest in this local church to do. Question is, do we each want to do our part? Many of you do, and that's an encouragement to others, and you need to know that and be commended for that. So we've got to be involved in the work. A reading of Ephesians 4:16 has shown that every member of the Lord's body must supply its part in the Lord's work. And so Paul would commend those Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:58 to be ye steadfast, unmovable. Does that describe you and me, by the way? Am I steadfast? Are you steadfast? Are we unmovable? Always abound in the work of the Lord. Here's the kicker to that verse. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Don't go unnoticed. Might go unnoticed by men many times. But it's not unnoticed by the Lord. God sees what we do. And He'll reward us eternally for it. Now's not the time to take our rest, right? Not saying that physical rest is not good. The Lord understood that. He got weary and encouraged the disciples to take rest from their labors. But we can't sit down and just stay down. There's work to be done. So be involved. Maybe I've got a disorder because I don't put first things first. A lot of things can be under the heading, putting first things first. In Matthew 6:33, the Lord said, "But seek ye second, first, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You've put being here a priority this morning. That's evidenced by you being here. That encourages others. You got up and could have been involved in a host of other things, giving your time and attention to other events, but you chose to be here. You've put this first today. And we ought to do that each and every day. The mature Christian has their priorities in line. We don't let family, work, play, whatever the case may be, to interfere with those things that we ought to be doing. Maybe we don't associate with other Christians. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9 says, "Use hospitality one with another without grudging." We spend time with one another. We do it Sundays, Wednesdays. What about other times? I'd much rather, generally speaking, be in the company of those of like precious faith than to always be around people who don't believe in God, who don't walk as the Bible would have them to walk. Sometimes our associations demand that we be with people who are not Christians. We understand that. But give time to be with one another. Coming up, we've got a whole week dedicated to being with those of like precious faith, and as the gospel is sounded forth in our gospel meeting. A few more points and we'll close this lesson. Maybe we don't assemble regularly with the saints. We spent a whole lesson in this series. I think it was lesson 3 on not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to make sure that we're here Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. Throughout the gospel meeting, I like the saying that visitors welcome, but members expected. Right? We're all expected to be here, beginning with myself, so we can set a good example for others and grow. We're going to stop right there so we can spend some time next weekend talking about how do we treat a developmental disorder, spiritually speaking. I appreciate your good attention. Thank you.